The Bible teaches the church that there are many spirits in the world and that we have a responsibility to test them. This means that there are many influences upon our daily beliefs and perceptions, many such spirits. Therefore, we must test these influences, and we must do so with reference to the Holy Bible to see if they are true. That the Bible is holy means nothing else than that it is to be treated as holy. Moses was told to treat certain ground as holy by removing his sandals. For the Holy Bible, we are to remove our pride and submit. We have already considered submitting to the Bible as authoritative, as inerrant, and as inspired. Today we will consider what it means to treat the Holy Bible as sufficient and as clear. The Bible is treated as holy when it is regarded as sufficient. That the Holy Bible is sufficient means that it's all that is needed. It is not, after all, a holy Bible, but the one and only Holy Bible. We don't need anything else. We need no other teaching in order to be certain of how to be saved, or to know for sure how to live a blessed life with a clean conscience before God and man. Thus, the Bible is sufficient. Some people think that God talks to them directly, apart from the Bible, either in their thoughts or through their feelings. Some churches are even built around a prophetic pastor who builds a ministry upon having had a vision from God. But there is a simple truth in an old saying about anything that claims to add knowledge to the Bible. If a prophet today speaks a word that is not in the Bible, he's a false prophet. If he speaks a word that's already in the Bible, his prophecy is unnecessary. The point is that brand new teachings are either not from God, or if they are from God, they're not actually new. Martin Luther, for instance, once had what had famously been called his tower experience. That is, he had an epiphany one night when he finally understood with unprecedented clarity in his mind that salvation is purely a gift from God. Some say that is when Martin Luther discovered the gospel. Others that he rediscovered it in that epiphany. In any case, his epiphany might have been new to him, but it was not a new teaching, but a very old one. It's a teaching as old as Jesus himself who accomplished it, as old as the scriptures that predicted it, and as old as Adam and Eve who were taught from the day that they sinned that a Savior was coming. This or that teaching might be new to this or that person, but it's not new to the Holy Apostolic and Christian Church. The teaching of the Bible is what is called the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. But it does go too far to say that teaching that is already known from the Bible is unnecessary. It's not unnecessary, on the contrary. Speaking a word that's already in the Bible is absolutely necessary. It's just not prophecy. It's what we call preaching. And it's why you come to church, not to learn a new teaching, but to remind you of the old ones. So St. Paul writes to the Galatian church that was entertaining such new teachings. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Now, closely aligned with the sufficiency of the Holy Bible is also the clarity of the Bible. Some churches have no issue with changing the Bible and its teaching, adding to it, subtracting from it. They would even openly admit that things like women's ordination or homosexual marriage or transgenderism are part of a new gospel. They openly deny the Bible as being authoritative and inerrant, and therefore it is certainly not sufficient to them. But liberal churches are doomed to fail. They're too foolish even for Satan. For the devil knows that the best way to lead people astray is not to openly defy God in front of people or to claim to know more than him. The crafty way is to pretend to be on his side, to pretend to know what God really wants, but not to know it from the clear words of the Bible. It's like the proverbial frog in the kettle. If you throw the frog into the boiling kettle, he'll jump right out. But if you put him in a mild kettle and slowly turn up the heat, he'll stick around until it's too late. Now, I don't know if that works. I've never tried it. But the idea is sound. If you want to lead people with honest intentions astray, don't flat out tell them to disobey God. Rather, tell them new and enlightened and culturally sensitive ways to obey him that go beyond what he has said. So, the subtlest and shrewdest attack on Christian doctrine and on the holiness of the Bible today is not denying inerrancy or authority or sufficiency, because those are huge red flags. It is those who deny the clarity of Scripture that really threaten to infiltrate the church. They're the ministers described by St. Paul who, quote, creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, who are always learning but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And that about says it all, doesn't it? Always learning but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Nothing is ever clear. The glue never cures. The paint never dries. The clay stays moldable and the nose is forever waxen. The plain words of the Bible are never sufficient because if it were, things would be settled. The Bible is never clear because then we would have to listen to even the hard parts and they can't be right. Listen to the tack taken by Satan in the first temptation. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" The woman then looked at the fruit and saw how tempting it was. Is it possible that God didn't actually mean I shouldn't eat? Maybe I can. Maybe I should. Maybe I must. Did God actually say? Those are the first sinful words recorded in the Bible. They led to those who fell in the beginning, and they still lead to those who fall. Now, of course, we must interpret the Bible, and that requires us to ask, what is God saying here? But this is not an endless quest for new teaching. We must finally settle on what God is saying, and that is when it becomes doctrine or dogma of the church. That is when it can be preached without hesitation and it can be believed without doubt. The reason we confess the Nicene Creed every week is because its conclusions are settled. Its statements are answers that we no longer question. We don't bother to ask, did God really say Jesus rose on the third day? Or did God really say Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead? We know he did. It's settled. It's clear. The point of interpreting the Bible is to draw conclusions. But the point of the devil is to muddy the waters. And sadly, many churches wallow in such unclear waters, thinking they're doing service to God in the name of the Bible. But it is a desecration to treat the Holy Bible so. But we have the Word of God that is clear in what it teaches. Those teachings have not changed since the beginning, nor do they change. God once spoke to us by prophets. He now has spoken to us by his Son. There's nothing more to be revealed to us now that Jesus has come, now that his apostles have spoken on his behalf. We know all we need to know for this age. But we will know more someday, on the last day when all will be revealed. On that day, nothing will remain hidden, but we will see how God's perfect plan of salvation has unrolled history like a scroll leading to the end of all things. On that day, we will see him face to face and know the word fully, even as we have been fully known. There will be no surprise questions from the judge, only what you have been clearly taught since your baptism and have known from the church's teaching since the apostles, a complete revelation, but not new. For the word of the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, world without end. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.